All right, so if you have your Bibles, you could turn to John 14. John 14. We have been in a series on John 14 through 16. It's the farewell discourse, basically Jesus' final words to his disciples before he is crucified in the last week of his life. But before we get there, I have a quick story I want to share with you. In my degree program at Fuller, when I was getting my master's in divinity in seminary, from 25 to 30, one of the things I had to do was go to a hospital and do an internship as a chaplain. And so I don't know if you know, but at hospitals, they have, specifically if they're Christian or Catholic hospitals, they have chaplains that are like pastors or priests that go around the hospital and talk to people when they're going through the difficult circumstances of about to die, or just after they die, they pray for the families that are grieving. And I had to do this. I had to go around with the chaplains that were working there full time as an intern, and it was like a pastoral training for me. And I was really intimidated. It was scary. So I had to go to these hospital rooms and see people that had cancer and might pass away really soon. And I had to talk to people that were really scared and really alone and afraid. And I got the opportunity, though, to pray for them. And this one particular story, and this happened quite a bit, but I wrote one story down and shared it on Facebook about 3 years ago in 2014. And I went back and I looked at what I said. And I just want to share with you what I wrote. It was almost like a journal entry. But that particular day, I was making my rounds in the hospital, and I walked into an 86-year-old patient's room, and I introduced myself as one of the chaplains here at the hospital. I explained to him how there is always someone here for him to simply talk to or even pray with if that's something he would like. And we don't force anybody. We never forced anybody to pray with us. It was an option. We told them this is available to you. So he said, yeah, I'd like prayer. After a brief conversation, he's like, I want some prayer. And so I said a prayer for blessing, healing, and comfort over him. But most of all, I said a prayer for God to be near him during this difficult time, and that God would fill him with his presence and his peace. As soon as I said amen, the man burst into tears. And he said, I haven't prayed since I was 7 years old, and he was 86. He hasn't prayed for over 70 years. And he burst into tears, and I said, after a minute or two of silence, I put my hand on his arm, and I said, it's going to be okay. God is here with you. And while still in tears, he looked up to me and he said, now I know that. Now I really know that God is with me. Thank you so much. In tears, he looked at me and said that. And I believe in that moment, he felt a tangible presence of God. He felt the peace of God deep within his spirit in that moment. Somehow, some way, God transcended his sin, God transcended whatever he was going through and met him in that place of humility. Because how many of you know it's humiliating to be in a hospital room, to be broken and not able to function and not able to properly take care of yourself or even get out of bed? One time I had surgery on my shoulder after a football injury, and I had to get a metal plate, titanium plate with 6 screws put in. And I had a complication where the nerves going down my neck, and you know, we all have these nerves and you can kind of see them. The nerves going down my neck into my arm were going over this titanium plate and hitting a screw. And so anytime I moved my neck and got out of bed and did anything more than just lay flat on my back, I would experience this excruciating, radiating fire type of pain going up and down my arm. And it was really difficult for me. And I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I need God's peace. I was getting anxiety because I was like, this hurts so bad. I can't even get out of bed. What am I going to do? And so all these thoughts are flooding my mind, these anxious thoughts. Of, it's always going to be this way. I'm never going to be healed. And I experienced that anxiety in that moment, and I needed God's peace. Just like that man about to die needed to feel God's peace, and he did, I needed to feel God's peace because I was immobile. I couldn't move without excruciating pain. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that, that you can remember, where you knew, like, I need God's peace right now? We've all been there, right? In some way or another. Yeah, we've all been there. So no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter how old you are, at some point in your life, you're going to be in a moment like that where you are in desperate need of the peace of God. So just bow your heads and pray with me real quick, and then we'll get through to this passage. Father God, thank you so much for your words that Jesus said as we've been going through John chapter 14. I just thank you that we're able to read these out loud with no fear of persecution, and that we could just dig into your scripture and learn about you more and more, God. So I pray that your peace and your presence would comfort us. Your Holy Spirit would be here. You'd meet us here. You'd speak through me. I don't have anything to say unless you speak through me, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can go to John 14, verses 27 through 31. John 14, 27 through 31. Jesus starts off in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." Peace, God's peace. God's peace that he gives to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Peace is the Father's gift to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Peace to comfort us and peace to give us confidence. To comfort us in challenging times and difficult circumstances, and to give us confidence when we're insecure and afraid. Confidence that God will come through for us. That if we have faith and if we believe, God will actually come through for us. He will not let us down. Because even if life doesn't work out exactly the way you thought it would, even if you're 25 and 30, you didn't get married, you didn't have children, it's not falling according to your plan, God will come through for you. You have nothing to fear. Peace, God's peace, gives us peace over the fear of death and the fear of the future. Two things that the world cannot give us, right? So many people in the world are either scared of dying because they don't know what's going to happen, because they don't have any faith in a transcendent God that's beyond this physical realm. All they know is this physical realm. So they're like, I don't know what's going to happen when I die. How do I know this? Because I talk to people in these hospital rooms, like I said, who were afraid. They didn't know God. They're atheist, agnostic, or even Jewish people. They were unsure of what was going to happen, even Catholic people. And they didn't have the confidence that we have through Christ to not be afraid of even death itself. So peace that God gives us is a peace from the bondage of fear of death and fear of the future. The peace of God comes from peace with God. Remember that. The peace of God, God's peace, comes from peace with God. Now, how do we have peace with God? Well, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, right? We were separated and distant and disconnected from a holy God because of our sin. Jesus, because of his righteousness and his holiness, paid that penalty. He filled that gap. He created that bridge for us to have access to God. So now we have peace with God because of that, right? Because of Jesus' righteousness, not our own. So that's what Romans 5:1 says, that we have the peace with God because of Jesus and what he has done, his faithfulness, his obedience. But not only that, not just the theological understanding is what I want to give to you. I want to also give you the tangible, practical understanding that you actually have access to God's peace right now. You can have the peace with God right now. And that comes from knowing him on a day-to-day basis, living in conscious union with Christ, living in a way that reflects who he is. Living in a way that is similar to how Jesus lived as best we can, right? We try to follow in his footsteps. So you are in right standing with God. You were made righteous by God. You have access to a holy God, but you can also have access to God's peace right now. So peace is not just the absence of conflict. What is that conflict? The sin and separation, the sin that separates us from a holy God. It's not just the absence of conflict in our lives, conflict theologically, separation from God, but it's the presence of blessing. It's not just absence, it's presence. It's not just what's removed from us, that scary feeling, that anxiety, but it's also what we get. We get the presence of God's blessing because of Christ living inside of us. We get the Holy Spirit. It's not just absence, it's presence. Do you have peace, this presence of God's blessing in your life, this presence of knowing deep down inside, at the end of the day, everything's going to be okay. Everything I'm worried about, all the deepest, darkest fears that I have in my life, think of the worst case scenario in your life, whatever you're worried about. Think of the absolute worst case scenario. At the end of the day, are you okay? Will you be okay? Are you going to starve to death? Are you going to go hungry? No. Are you going to be okay? Even if you die, even if the worst case scenario, you get cancer somehow and you pass away early. I know that's morbid, but just think of worst case scenario. Do we have to fear death because of Christ? No, we don't have to fear death. So even in the worst case scenario, we have nothing to worry about. We can have this presence of a blessing in our lives. That's beautiful, that's wonderful, and it's because of what Jesus did that we have that. But you have that right now. Because a lot of times, we get bombarded with all these thoughts, right? We get anxiety, anxious thoughts. Even when I was going to bed last night, I started thinking about all these random things, and I had trouble going to sleep because I just had these anxious thoughts going on in my life and in my mind. And I had to stop myself and realize and kind of look at myself and like, what am I doing? Why am I thinking about these things? I need to let the peace of God rule in my heart, as Colossians says. I need to let God's peace rule. I need to make a decision to train my mind, to renew my mind, not to think upon those things, to realize what am I thinking about and change my mind accordingly, right? How many of you have consistent negative thoughts going on in your brain at random times throughout the day? Things that bombard you. You're not good enough. You're insecure. You have too much fear. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be successful. You don't have what it takes. You're not beautiful enough. You're not pretty enough. How many of you get those thoughts? Tim, you get those thoughts? You're not beautiful enough? Okay, that's good, bro. I'm glad you raised your hand on that. We all get those thoughts, right? But what are the consistent thoughts going on in your mind? And what are you going to do when you get bombarded by those thoughts? That's the question. What Jesus is inviting us to do is to experience not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of blessing, the presence of his blessing, where he says, hey, I want you to renew your mind. I want you to be aware that you're having these thoughts and choose to dwell on things above, not on things of the earth. Choose to think, okay, even in the worst case scenario, am I okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Are you going to be okay, worst case scenario? Yeah, you're going to be okay. Worst case scenario, you die. Guess what the Bible says? You go to be with Christ forever. Your spirit goes to be with Christ's spirit in a place of eternal peace and comfort and joy, where sin no longer separates you from seeing God face to face. I love to see God face to face. I want to experience the tangible presence of God. So even worst case scenario, you're okay. But you have to desire this, and you have to choose this. It's a choice in that moment. Because last night, when I was going to bed, I could have just allowed those things to continue to bombard me. Thoughts, anxiety, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with this, Kevin? What about that? You still got to take care of that? You haven't done this? This project at work? Blah, blah, blah. Bombard. Awareness, stop, look, say no, not true, not going to think about that. I'm going to let those thoughts keep moving down a river. Distance myself from them. I'm going to allow God's peace to rule in my heart. I'm going to say things. I'm going to cite scripture. I'm going to remember God's promises and remind myself of my God. Remind myself of who I am in Christ. I am good enough. I do have what it takes. I'm a child of God. I have the blessing of the Most High God upon me. He's created me in his image to do good works, which he prepared in advance for me to do. I have everything I need to succeed. I am pretty enough. I am beautiful enough, ladies. Guys, I do have what it takes. I can make it. I can be successful. I can get a job. I can have a family. I can be a husband and a father one day. I can be successful. I do have what it takes. I'm a victor, not a victim. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Right? This is who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. You remind yourself of who you are in Christ when those thoughts overwhelm you and bombard you. It's awareness. You choose. So why should you care about any of this? Why? Well, it's obvious, right? We all are going to experience a lack of peace at times in our lives. And we all want peace. We want inner peace when we're stressed out. We want inner peace when we have that broken heart, when the boyfriend or girlfriend breaks our heart and we're down in the dumps for 6 months, right? Or however long it is to get over that relationship. We need God's peace in that moment. You want God's peace at work. You want God's peace at school, in your family, in relationships. We all want the peace of God. So let me tell you about peace for a second. The peace of God, definition of peace, is freedom from disturbance, quiet or tranquility, right? We know that. That makes sense. But in the New Testament, peace was a way to say goodbye. In Hebrew, in the Old Testament, they would say shalom. They'd say goodbye, shalom. So Jesus, he's saying goodbye to them. He's like, I'm going away, as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. He's going away. He's going to be crucified. He knows this. This is his last week on earth. And he's saying, I'm going away. And you, I don't want you to have your hearts be troubled just because I'm going away. I'm saying goodbye to you. Peace, I leave with you. Verse 27. Peace, I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He's leaving a legacy for them.
He's saying, I'm going away, but you don't have to fear because I'm going to go defeat death. The biggest fear that you have is a fear of death. And guess what? You don't have to fear because I'm going to go defeat death 2 days from now. That's what he's telling them. This is in the upper room. They're about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane that same night. This is right after the Last Supper. And he's telling them, hey, later this week, I'm going to defeat death once and for all. I'm going to atone for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. You don't have to fear even your worst fear. My peace I give to you. How many of you know of the Middle East conflict between Israel and Palestine and all the stuff going on there? Well, there's a story about Ron and Jake Jones, and they served as missionaries with the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Israel. And they wrote in a prayer letter to their supporters, they wrote this: the result of the fighting and killing has left a profound sense of discouragement that hovers over the country. Several times we have come into closer contact with this conflict than our comfort zone allowed. But yesterday, a friend said he was watching a shepherd caring for his flock near the area where guns were being fired. And every time the shots rang out, the sheep scattered in fright. The sheep were scared. They freaked out when the shots started firing. But the shepherd touched the sheep with his staff and spoke calmly to them. And the sheep settled down because they trusted the shepherd. Then another shot sounded. The same routine happened. The sheep scattered everywhere and freaked out. Each time, the sheep needed the shepherd to reorient them again, touch them, and speak calmly to them, reassuring them that they were safe and they were going to be okay. We are like those sheep. We need God, our shepherd, when we are frightened, to reach out and touch us with his staff, speaking words of calm and comfort over us, giving us his peace. And that's what Psalm 23 says, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be not in want. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He comforts me with his rod and his staff. He gets me back in order. When I'm scattered, when I'm freaking out, and I'm like the sheep, I'm hearing the guns fired, and I'm like a little sheep just freaking out, going everywhere, he gets me back in line. He says, hey, it's okay, because the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of God? The voice that speaks calmly to you when those moments are bombarding you with thoughts. The voice that speaks over all those thoughts if you let that voice speak over those thoughts, that voice that says, it's going to be okay. Even in the worst case scenario, it's going to be okay. The Lord is my shepherd. So Jesus says, my peace I give to you. As I've already said, we've been justified through our faith. We have peace with God, but we can have the peace of God that guards our hearts from the flaming arrows of the enemy, the Bible says. From those thoughts that attack us, we can have the peace of God that guards us like a shield that comes up when those darts come in and you start thinking all these bad thoughts and you're in this negative pattern of thinking and you can't get out of it. This is gonna happen and this is gonna happen. All of a sudden, the shield comes up, the arrows go down because the shields are up, and you allow God's peace to transcend all understanding to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Jesus demonstrated his peace. The reason why it's so amazing that he says, my peace I give to you, because he's saying, over the last 3.5 years, guys, you've seen me, you've talked to me, we've done all this stuff together. When the storm came and the waves came, you saw me have peace when I was asleep on the boat. They're like, how could you be asleep in the midst of the storm? And they say, Master, aren't you going to do anything? He wakes up, he calms the waves, he calms the wind, he had peace. When his friend Lazarus died, he didn't freak out. He said, don't worry, Martha, he's just asleep. Lord, he's been dead for 3 days. No, don't worry. I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. He didn't freak out, he had peace. He was calm. When he was being falsely accused on trial and he knew he was going to be crucified, he had peace. He was calm. He didn't say, stop it, don't do this, I didn't do anything wrong. He had peace. He knew there was something deeper going on. He knew that he was fulfilling his Father's will and he was going to defeat death once and for all. He had peace. He was calm. He demonstrated this. He's our example. And he had the Spirit living inside of him. We have the Spirit living inside of us. We have access to the same peace that Jesus had, and he's given it to us. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he quoted Scripture. He reminded himself of Scripture. Satan said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. He reminded himself of Scripture. If Jesus, in his temptation in the wilderness, had to remind himself of God's word, how many know that you need to remind yourself, and I need to remind myself of the word of God when I'm being tempted by Satan as well? If Jesus needed to do it, you need to do it, and I need to do it too, right? How much more so do we need to do it
if Jesus needed to do that. So he had these examples over and over again of him demonstrating peace in difficult times. Now, was he still human? Yeah, he was still human. In his humanity, he cried and he dripped out drops of blood. And he said, my God, you know, why have you forsaken me on the cross? But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried those drops of blood. And he said, if it's any way possible, God, let this cup pass from me. But then he chose to overcome that potential continual anxiety of thinking. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He chose to transform his mind and to take his mind to a new level. See, the world is unable to give us this kind of peace. When was the last time you fell into the trap of continual anxiety? Was it like me? Was it last night? Or was it a week ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? When was the last time? Think back that you fell into that anxiety. The world is unable to give us this deeper underlying peace. And you know that. You've tasted the world. You know it's not able to give you that. And sure, we can experience temporary peace if we have a lot of money and we have our health and we have everything we wanted. There's a temporary peace there. But like I said, you will never experience the peace and the freedom that comes from not being afraid of even death and the future. You won't experience that. The world cannot give you a peace. The richest person is still going to be scared of death, of the unknown. But we have hope because of Christ. Because of his resurrection, we have hope. We don't even have to fear death. And just moving on here to verse 28, I just want to look at verse 28 and then verse 30. Just really quick, because a Jehovah Witness, this is the tangent, but I want to tell you because it's important. A Jehovah Witness might come knocking on your door one day and to point out verse 28 that we just read, where it says, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. All Jesus means there is because in my humanity, because the role that I have right now to fulfill is a role of sacrificing myself, of being humiliated on a cross, the Father still has glory. So the Father is not being humiliated. The Father is not in his humanity, in his functionality, in his role at that moment as part of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, right? He is saying the Father in this moment, in this functionality, in this role is greater than I. It doesn't mean that he's saying I and the Father are not one. In fact, he told us earlier in the same book, I am the Father and one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 1:1, the book starts with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then at the end, Thomas, when he feels the holes in his side and his wrist, he says, my God, my God, or he says, my Lord and my God, right? He says, my Lord and my God. So Jesus is not saying that he is not God, he's not equal to God. He's just simply saying in his role at that moment, he's about to be sacrificed and humiliated in his humanity. So he's speaking as a human. He's fully God and fully human, right? So don't let a Jehovah Witness transform your thinking and don't convert to being a Jehovah Witness, okay? So I just wanted to point that out. Okay, so verse 30 here. I will no longer talk with you much. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. He's talking about Satan being the ruler of this world. He's saying, he has no power over me. If Satan doesn't have no power over him, guess what? He doesn't have any power over you either. Death doesn't have any power over you, and neither does Satan. So when Satan attacks you with those thoughts, when he tries to make you feel inferior, he has no power over you, just like he had no power over Jesus. So, with all that being said, what do I want you to do? I want you to choose, trust, and expect. I want you to choose peace and not anxious thoughts. It's a choice. You have a choice. Choose peace and not anxious thoughts. We get to decide, you guys. And this is much easier when we remember, like Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, when he quoted scripture. It's much easier to have peace and to choose peace when we can recite scripture, when we know the promises of God. These are some good verses that you should jot down and memorize for the rest of your life. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Notice the red, right? The red, action verbs. Let the peace, let, allow it to rule. Let it rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's a choice. Colossians 3:15. 1 Peter 3 says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Seek, pursue. These are action verbs. This is where, instead of just lying in your bed and allowing those thoughts to bombard you, instead of just lying there and being like, oh, I just feel so horrible right now, you get up and you say, no, I will not let that overcome me. I will not let that take me out. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to seek. I'm going to raise my mind. I'm going to raise my consciousness to a new level and not allow that to bombard me. So Philippians 4:6, I already said it, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, with prayer and petition. Again, choices, prayer, petition. These are all choices. With thanksgiving, choices, gratitude, being thankful. Present. God, this is what's going on. This is what's going on, God. You know I'm having these thoughts. Will you help me? And then the promise comes. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard the shields, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember the promises. Choosing is easy when you remember the promises. The next thing is to trust. You trust. You trust in God's peace and not the world's. The world's going to say, this is how you have peace. Money, cars, good looks, whatever it is. Success. This is how you get peace. No. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, Jesus said. Do you want Jesus' peace or do you want the world's peace? One has 100% rate of success. The other one, not so much. Just look at Hollywood, look at the tabloids, right? What type of peace do you want? Trust in God's peace, not the world's. And don't trust in your flesh either. Your flesh is a liar. Your flesh is gonna lie to you. Your own mind is gonna lie to you. Scientific research shows that we're 3 to 5 times more likely to attach to negative thoughts than positive thoughts. I remember playing football. If I threw an interception after the game, but I threw 2 touchdowns, I would remember the interception and not the touchdowns. I'd be like, I can't believe I threw that ball. It was cover 2. I should have thrown it a quick slant, but I didn't. I didn't remember the fun I had throwing the touchdowns. All I remembered was the interception because my mind is attracted to the negative rather than the positive. It's human nature. We're in a fallen state, a fallen condition. So I trust in God's peace, not my own. And the last thing is expect. When you choose, when you trust, when you have that peace of God and you trust in his promises, you can expect because of the faith that you have that God's going to come through for you. That even in the hospital bed, when I'm praying for that guy and he says, this is the first time in 75 years I've ever felt the peace of God. And he starts crying. He says, thank you so much. He's expecting because of what he experienced in that moment for God to show up again for him after death. That somehow, some way, God was going to show up again for him. That's why he was crying, because he knew he was in a vulnerable situation. And I was the only one there telling him about Christ and the love of Christ that's like a waterfall constantly going over him no matter what happened, no matter what he did. It's like a waterfall of grace and love. And he cried because of that. So as the band starts playing, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what Jesus said throughout this sermon. How he's with you right now. He's going away, but he's giving you the Holy Spirit to give you peace. And what is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. But love, joy, and peace. Peace. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. A tree doesn't produce fruit unless the tree is planted in the garden and getting watered. Are you getting watered by God? Are you getting watered by the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing him to transform you, to fill you with that peace? Because the fruit will come. If you're spending time in the Word, if you're spending time with Jesus, the fruit will come. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, that transformation of your character, that will come. But you have to choose. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to trust and expect God to show up for you. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much just for your Word that transforms us and help us to become more like you. Help us to just be like your son Jesus as he lived with such a calmness, free from anxiety, free from fear, with just such a solid connection to his Father, to our Father, to you, God. I pray that you'd help us to rely on you like Jesus relied on you, to have that type of faith and trust in you, to demonstrate to others the calmness and the peace that we can have when we put our trust and put our faith in you, Jesus. So thank you. Be with us now as we worship. In Jesus' name.